Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes, indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, a place where we bring you exclusive interviews, distinct content from leaders who drive our economy. Hey folks, how you doing? My name is Jason Spies. Thank you so much for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation, pouring yourself a cup of coffee, and being part of the program. Coffee and Capitalism Radio brings you CEOs to small business owners to mentors. It is a leader in innovation, ideas, and inspiration. At Coffee and Capitalism, we are all about making money and giving back. The roots of capitalism, learning the fine art of balance in work and family life, all while prioritizing your time. On today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we talk with Tom Shepstone about the emerging industry of a protester. That's right, the profession of a protester. Shepstone talks about how often the protester is no longer passionate about the cause, rather is doing it for the paycheck and the attention. The new industry of the protester coming up in just a bit here on Coffee and Capitalism Radio. Plus, David Owen, speaking of protesting, legalize ND. Owen spearheading a ballot initiative for North Dakota to legalize cannabis. He talks about how the new law will impact business owners, employers, and even the Bank of North Dakota. And he lays down the challenge, saying if you decide not to fund, deposit, or cash any checks, you will be breaking the law. Plus, Anthony Mulzon, co-founder of Aegis Flows, talks about the integration of big data into society and how it's time to understand and deploy the technology into your industry. Plus, Dale Brown, NCAA coaching legend, speaker, he talks about how some people are stars and some people are superstars. Then he goes into some of the players he coached about how that works in the world of business. All that plus much more on today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
I saw a big fat hen out across the road, pecking gravel in the noonday sun, shaking her tail like the queen of the yard, not minding anyone. But the farmer's wife had set the pot to boil, and the dinner table was set. She had collard greens and a pot of baked beans, but she hadn't cooked the main course yet.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we have Tom Shepstone with Shepstone Management Company. Based on just kind of what I said leading up, how the profession of the protester, in my opinion, has been created, you deal with a lot of these people. Are a lot of these people actually that passionate, or are they passionate about making sure their mortgage is being paid?
I think they're passionate about attention seeking, a lot of them, and the money is what allows them to do it. We see that a lot. I think of a young fellow who is, I think he's maybe just 30 at this point, but he's this fellow who's from our area. He appears at every possible event you can imagine. He sits up in trees at pipeline when pipelines are being constructed. He chains himself to a gate, when a new compressor station is being, the type, the whole thing. And he's a perfectly, I've met him different times, and as a matter of fact, I saw him at the hearing on Tuesday night, and his father came over and introduced himself to me, and he was very nice, too. But they're totally radical, and he's been, this kid has been doing this since he was in high school. He's been doing it, and he would, and then when he got in college, he went to a college in Pennsylvania, and he would, on Eastern Pennsylvania, and twice he managed to get himself arrested and as a leader of a protest in one time at NYU in New York City, and another time at University of Pittsburgh, neither of which he attended. Okay. and he's leading the protest. So this is a kid who's just driven by the desire for attention and for the desire to be radical. And some people just want to be nonconformists, and he's one of those. He absolutely wants to be a nonconformist. He absolutely wants attention. And what he does is he gets away with this because he gets money from a tiny little group in Philadelphia called the Action Center, Inc., which gets money from another group, which in turn gets money from the Rockefeller Foundation. And this is how it works. You know, the Rockefeller Foundation is, or any number, there's like 7 or 8 different Rockefeller NGOs. They will give out money to XYZ Group, which is somewhat radical, somewhat mainstream. It's kind of in the middle. And then that group will in turn give out money to a group that is thoroughly radical, okay, that is hiring somebody like this young fellow. And so he gets just enough money. He's not making a fortune at this, but he's making enough money that he can do this rather than get a real job. And that's what you see happening over and over and over again, is the exploitation of those people who seek attention and are willing to work for very little, as long as they, you know, they don't have to get a real job and they can be professional protesters. And we see it all the time, and we see ads on Craigslist to hire these people temporarily sometimes.
Tom, I want to recount a story from a couple of years ago. Now,
to listen to the full-length interview with Tom Shepstone with Shepstone Management Company, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Up, strutting her stuff to see the water was getting hot. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to you. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
Music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
So keep your head on a swivel, look both ways when you cross the street, cause this world is full of sharks and wolves, and all they ever do is eat. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you. There's always an eye on you.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, David Owen with Legalize ND.
Something you and I talked about last week that I want to bring up is the Bank of North Dakota, because I've talked to Arby Smith with the Health Department, Kenan Bollinger with the Health Department, and now Jason Wall. And I swear, they've all told me the Bank of North Dakota will not take any money from growers or anything to do with this, except they will allow the health department to cash the permit checks. Other than that, they don't want anything to do with it.
Well, I hate to break it to them, but they're not really going to have a whole lot of a choice, to be quite frank. North Dakota law dictates that the state bank must follow the laws of North Dakota and must allow any lawful business to have an account there, first off. Second off, they're not going to know, okay? So if I'm a farmer and I have 100 acres of corn and 10 acres of marijuana, you will, because of the way this bill is written, you're not going to know what money's what. It will be impossible. It will be literally impossible. So for the State Bank of North Dakota to say that, they are saying we are going to close the account of every single farmer, which is not possible. Zero chance. Literally none. Third, if you have a business, which is where they're actually going to try and target the small businesses that are called the mom and pop pot shop, let's say, those can either get around it by changing the name a little bit on their IRS tax forms, or they can do it the First Amendment route, which is say, this is government stifling my expression and speech, and I am in compliance with your law, but you are artificially setting terms of where or not I can store my money. And because of decisions like Citizens United, access and money is now considered part of speech. They can say whatever they want to say, but the way this bill is written, A, they have no way to stop the grow, and B, they have very, very limited ways of stopping the stores.
Well, I think it'll be interesting because I've talked to several people, and the stories, of course, are amazing. I mean, I did talk to a guy who did get some financing, but it took him 9 months. It took him 9 months and some maneuvering, let's just put it that way. I talked to a guy who worked with the SEC on a Kickstarter campaign, and they got that off the ground. So there was something that was cannabis related. And then I talked to a guy who's going to give me an interview, and I cannot wait. He paid $3 million in taxes to the IRS in cash. He showed up there, dropped off the money, and the IRS looked at him and said, well, what are we supposed to do with this? He goes, I'm just following the law. It's your problem now. And he left. He did everything legal.
Enjoy my taxes.
Enjoy my cash taxes.
Have fun with that.
And, of course, this other guy I'm talking to with the bank financing, he's talking about, it's a blessing when you can pay your taxes and your employees, and he goes, with checks. He goes, people don't understand how big of an issue that is. And what I'm hearing here from you is, yeah, it ain't going to be that issue.
Right.
Not unless they come out and say
the only place where it could be an issue temporarily, and it will get overturned, believe me, it will be overturned, is the mom and pop shops. But the farmers are going to be protected from it because they're going to say, we're a farm. Well, what do you grow? None of your business. Or the people selling it small amounts. Or what people are going to do, and the mom and pop shops, here's my honest recommendation if you're worried about it day one. You name your business something that does not have the word cannabis, does not have the word marijuana, does not have any of the trigger words. What do you ask? We are a retail store.
Well, that's what a bank, with the Dakota Cannabis Club, we got denied by 6 banks.
Right.
And the banks told me to change the name. And I'm going, you know, we're trying to be an informational, educational thing here. We're not trying to lie to the public.
Right.
I didn't like that. Like, oh, so I have to lie to the public to be educational?
I'm not saying you have to do this. What I'm saying
but it's different, though. It's different. If I'm going to open a dispensary, I can call it
whatever
D-O alternatives,
right.
A-B alternatives, and be okay with that. What we wanted to do was say, we're just going to be called the Dakota Cannabis Club because
right.
It's everything in the name. But we're not actually doing anything cannabis related outside of marketing. And even that was not allowed by the banks.
What will happen is people will sue the bank and the bank will lose.
I agree with that. I agree with that. It'll happen. So let's the banking thing is fascinating. I mean, like I've got stories that are just that'll rock people's worlds on that. But
yeah, it's all sad. I know people who have to drive the money in an armored truck to the State Bank of North Dakota.
My favorite one was there's a guy in Colorado burying it in barrels in his backyard, like Breaking Bad. He just had that much cash. He didn't know what to do with it. He's watching Breaking Bad. Like, that's a great idea.
I've heard stories of people who have bottles filled with $10,000 each. And each of those bottles has 10 grand in it. And it's buried out somewhere.
Yeah. And that's a good problem to have. But it's a problem.
It's a horrible problem.
But it's a problem they shouldn't have.
Yeah, it's a horrible problem to have.
So I want to talk about the University of Southern Illinois study. I interviewed Chris Stone with HCI Alternatives last week. They've got some groundbreaking research on cannabis and opioids to the tune to where a lawmaker in Illinois is now introducing a bill or an attachment amendment so that opioids can be added to medical marijuana. It'd be absolutely groundbreaking.
Right.
Okay. So we were talking about that, and he alluded to a study that the University of Southern Illinois did in Carbondale, and it was for the state of Illinois, okay?
Yep.
But here's what the study said. Medical marijuana, which is legal in the state, 3 years ago had about a 55% acceptance rate. Now they're at 92.
Yeah.
Okay? Recreational was right around 30-something, 35, something like that. It's at 75 now. So in Illinois, where outside of Chicago, it's a pretty red state outside of Chicago.
Yeah.
It's pretty conservative.
I've been through it, yeah.
Yeah, and so my point is, though, is that I believe that is a somewhat of a fair reflection on the rest of the country and the states that the medical is accepted well over 70% to the tune to where North Dakota, Pat's at 65 in North Dakota where the Tea Party is liberal, okay? So Tea Party's liberal in North Dakota, it passed 65.
Yeah, the most liberal congressman in North Dakota gets a 40% from the conservative watch, something like that. It's insane.
So you get my joke here.
I agree with you.
So even in Illinois where it's gone from that much, Colorado, Montana, Wyoming, I see all these other states where I truly believe that the recreational full legalization acceptance is well over 40%.
I'll keep going.
To where I think the educational process will tip it to over 50.
Yeah.
I really, and I believe.
I think we're far beyond 50 already. I think here's why. Okay, so let's say you're a farmer in North Dakota, okay? You're growing corn, and corn isn't doing like it used to. I remember back in 08, 09 when corn was $7 a bushel. I have memories of that. And maybe I'm not right on the exact year, but there was a period of time when I was younger, when ethanol was a big thing, when corn was about $7 a bushel. And farmers are growing about 190 to 200 bushels an acre. Let's make the math very nice and simple, 200 bushels an acre. So 200 bushels an acre times $7 a bushel, they're getting 1,400 an acre before expenses, okay? Corn is now at about anywhere from 275 to 350. Sometimes gets a little above that, but we're talking $3.50 a bushel. So that means your farmers have gone from making 1,400 an acre to 700 an acre, and they're hurting. They're hurting bad because that's essentially a 50% pay cut, and things haven't gotten a whole lot cheaper. So let's look at marijuana here for a second. If you're a farmer, you go, well, I can grow marijuana. I can grow 2 or 3 acres of marijuana, no problem, in the middle of my field, and no one will mess with it. And you're getting Colorado retail is $2,000 a pound for decent stuff. That's the median.
That's fair.
That's fair.
That's fair.
And let's say the farmer gets 50% of that, because that means the store is getting wholesale $1,500. That means that the distributor's got to make a little bit of a profit.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say the farmer's getting $1,000 a pound, and they grow again 190 bushels, and let's say they only grow half as much on marijuana. So 100 bushels of marijuana, and let's say it's only 30 pounds a bushel. Corn is 50 pounds a bushel. Let's say marijuana is 30 pounds a bushel. So 30 times that 1,000 number is 30,000 a bushel times 100 bushels, 300,000, 3 million an acre. Now, you and I understand it ain't going to hold at 3 million an acre.
Right.
It's not. But let's assume a 99% price crash.
To listen to the full-length interview with David Owen with Legalize ND, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Because you've been singing all night, driving home and pointing your homemade knife. Watch it shine so bright.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Watch it shine so bright in the candlelight.
It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Mark your calendars for June 15th. That's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th. The Bakken Barbecue coming to Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Up next, Anthony Malzahn with Aegis Flow.
But the change is coming,
oh, yeah.
And the average person, it's going to happen so fast that they're not even going to know what's going to happen. So talk to me about the folding in of all this big data, where you see it going, because you do understand what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, actually, there's a real-world example, speaking of facial recognition. So there is a study done, it was just some news reporter went out. They've got, I think, China has something like 400,000, something like that, CCTVs across the one of their major cities. And what they did is this gentleman, he went to the police station, and he said, all right, put me on your radar, mm-hmm. and I want you to go find me. He walks out the door, and he basically tries to hide himself from public, and through automation, facial recognition software, it took 7.5 minutes to both track down and bring him to jail. In fact, it went so fast that the authorities that picked him up had no idea that this was a stunt that was done, and treated him to the full extent because he was a suspect mm-hmm. Within the Chinese regulation. 7.5 minutes with basically a couple few hundred thousand CCTVs with facial recognition software installed, working together in a mesh network.
And that's for the guy trying to avoid what he knows.
Yeah.
Like, he knows all that stuff's there, and he's trying to avoid it.
Yes.
And in 7.5 minutes, he slipped up.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, it basically, that was all it was. He was like, what is it going to take? And so he was pretty casual with it. But, you know, as far as, you know, from an ethical standpoint, I won't take the stance on that. But there's obviously going to be a financial impact for folks who are, say, you know, drone service providers, for instance, just in oil and gas. You know, one thing that's big is that these wellheads, these rigs, they go down. There are issues, mm-hmm. and they a lot have a specialty pieces. Imagine for a second if you were able to fly over and get a high resolution image of these particular wells, so you know exactly what materials that you need to bring on site. Or furthermore, you actually fold that in with another technology that is totally decoupled from this conversation, is 3D printing. You actually now have custom high resolution, high density 3D printing printers that can actually print these tools and these materials on site, and you can actually have one or two of those within a maybe a 30 or 40 mile radius to update all of the rigs to get them in working order. Talk about the O-rings, be able to print those on site. These are big things that are changing to granularize the process, but then to expedite the workflow. Both are happening at the same time, and you want to talk about Moore's Law, just take it away from technology and reapply it. You're actually going faster by being able to make cheaper materials on site. You're cutting out the middleman.
It's crazy. I mean, like 5 years ago, I want to say that Google challenged the World Health Organization The World Health Organization had to go to Google because Google knew about cold outbreaks before anybody because of the Google searches. All the number of people that were searching for home remedies for coughs and colds and all these different things. So here the people that we pay to keep in track of our lives are actually going to the private business to find things that they're supposed to find out. That's another part that's changing. And that's where the North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum keeps talking about that. The big data is going to change the government. It's going to change the way we do business. And oil and gas has been very upfront saying they're rewriting their business plan right now because they understand how much technology has impacted it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm in the media. Listen, the LA Times made money for 110 years, and then the internet came along, and they declared bankruptcy 10 years later. I lost my ass in 2009. 2007, because I invested hundreds of thousands of dollars of the internet when nobody was paying us. So right now, I joked last week, I'm on reinvention of myself number 10 over the last 10 years because nobody's figured out the media yet. Nobody has, because we don't know how to make money and how to really create a model that works in the media. So we're trying all these different things. And, you know, and that's what's happening in so many other industries is that they are trying to figure out how to do some things. In the UAS industry, they haven't figured this stuff out yet. I was talking to John Nowitzki from NDSU. Yep. He's like a godfather over there. He's been doing this stuff for a long time. A big part of it was camera sensors. They were flying miles above Hillsboro, North Dakota, trying to figure out all these different things to do for UAS. Well, when the next generation of cameras came along, boy, that made their job so much easier, didn't it?
Yeah, and that was actually with a partnership with Elbit Systems, I believe.
Okay.
And that actually, they repurposed the Hawk, I can't remember what, from Northrop Grumman or whatever, and that thing can fly at about 7,000 feet. It's been basically solar panel arrays. They took all of the machinery out of it. It's got great camera systems. This thing can fly for, like, what, something like 16 hours at a time.
Made out of, packing peanuts, pretty much.
And the next iteration of it, so this one can only fly at about 7,000, but their goal is to get these things to fly in Class A airspace, which means that they can fly at about 28,000 to 40,000 feet. And when that happens, and you get two of these flying in tandem, you're going to have perpetual surveillance of basically any geostationary object you want. If you want to get 24-hour access to, say, the Bakken, for instance, to see degradation changes, you want to be able to zoom in and see logistical changes between someone delivering a shipment to be able to go to the docking station or somewhere in between, you're able to have perpetual access to that because you have birds that are able to stay in the air because of the sustainable technologies that have been embedded into it. Yeah, and also a great camera. Yeah.
Brave new world, baby. That's where we're at. So anyway, that's probably going to do it this week for the weekly Bakken get together. We've got science fiction that we're talking about, but it's actually reality, and we're here. And, you know, I remember, you know, several years ago, 3-4 years ago, I want to say that the state of North Dakota, they were hiring, like, you know, basically crop duster type people that were checking pipes. And it's been fun to see the evolution happen as we've been getting to, you know, the drones coming in to check not only the pipes and the safety and the security and all these different things, but it's happening in so many different areas. I'm actually enjoying watching my photographer friends. Just, it's so fun to see people use toys and adults use toys, and they go out and, you know, they get these aerial shots and but they know how to wait for the light to come out, and they don't rely on Photoshop for a lot. That's what I mean by my photographer friends. Those are the ones, like, you know, the people who understand art. Like,
I'm a photographer. I know what you mean.
You went to school for it. So, anyway, it's fun. So anyway, that's going to do it this week here. And Anthony, one more time, plug your organization. Thank you for coming out and talking. So talk a little bit and give this guy some business. How can people give you business?
Yeah, well, so we're building our platform. It's a marketplace for drone pilots to sell photos and videos and be contracted to fly. It's AegisFlow, AegisFlow.com. My name is Anthony, and honestly, I just want to say thank you for today. This is an absolute pleasure. A lot
awesome.
Of fun. Just kind of a little nonchalant chat. Thank you for listening in, and I look forward to having a conversation with some of the folks out there. So,
to listen to the full-length interview with Anthony Malzahn of AegisFlow or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter. All those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
I keep a tiny little picture on my cell phone of the wide open prairie out by my grandma's house. And some days I can almost feel the wind blow and taste that cool, dry, dusty autumn air in my mouth. Where the nighttime lights are flickering on the horizon.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Every time I roll, back around.
If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
When I feel lost and separated, and every step I take falls on foreign ground, and I feel like going back to North Dakota. I'll take a job, find a wife, and finally settle down. But right now I'm addicted to emotion and freedom that my selfish solitude provides, and I'd hate to think that I'd become a stranger to the place where I was born, where my heart still resides, where the nighttime lights earth and light on the horizon.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota.
Oh, darling, I'm getting a new tattoo.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, former NCAA coaching legend and corporate speaker, motivational speaker, Dale Brown from Louisiana State University and North Dakota native.
Randy Livingston, you've mentioned would be perseverance in the dictionary, having blown out his knees. How was it to coach somebody like him who could have gave up so easy?
It was a lot of fun because he was a coach on the floor. He knew the game very well. You see, there are stars and there are superstars. Stars have great statistics. They're all this, they're all that. Superstars make other people better. He had a knack of making other people better. So his coaching, it was limited. You didn't have to do much with him. He knew the game. He could decipher things on the court. He almost had a third eye. He could see things that other people couldn't see. He could throw the ball. He would know if a guy was better catching the ball off his left leg or his right leg and would hold up until he got his right leg in position. So wasn't much coaching done with that guy. He was a coach himself on the floor.
I'm going to see how my memory goes. Ronnie Henderson was the other point guard?
Jiminy Christmas.
Was that right?
Is your boss watching this?
No, he's not. I just...
You need a raise. That's
well,
good.
Well, thank Ronnie you. Henderson, I'm going
another,
off my...
Another high school All-American. Ronnie Henderson.
Because the two of them came in together at the same time, correct?
Ronnie fed off Randy.
Yeah.
When Randy went down, Ronnie's game went down. And then when Ronnie decided to go hard... Randy decided to go hardship, Ronnie went too, which was a major mistake. He didn't make it in the NBA.
But yeah.
They were kind of the Bobbsey twins.
They were.
Ronnie lived off Randy.
You know, I think of that because some of the things you're talking about applies, obviously, to entrepreneurship, to
right,
business,
right,
to leadership,
right.
Whether it be perseverance.
Right.
If somebody's watching this, what advice would you have for somebody living outside of North Dakota that's maybe coming in? What advice would you have about the people of North Dakota? Because North Dakota's in the news for all kinds of different things right now.
Right.
You know, but you know the North Dakota you grew up with, so.
I've been in 90 countries. I've been in all 50 states. Without being practicing nepotism, without being North Dakota where he was born, so he's blind to things. If I was to build a road, I would go to North Dakota. If I wanted to get somebody to go to the military, I'd go to North Dakota. If I wanted someone that I knew had ethics, would work hard. And I've said before, North Dakotans are an exceptional people. Most people think they're entitled to stuff. Not North Dakotans. I've given speeches and I've said, you're looking for a helping hand, look at the end of your doggone arm. North Dakotans aren't looking over their shoulder for the government to help them. These are still pioneer people that have the pioneer spirit in them. They're still homesteaders in a way. It's their cultural background. And I found out when we reluctantly left North Dakota, my wife and I were teachers, couldn't make a living, we were starving. Which bill to pay which month? Two-year-old child, where are we gonna go? We got in one car, a little old bug Volkswagen, drove to California, interviewed up and down the coast of California. Every place we went in, when they saw North Dakota, said, man, we had some great teachers from North Dakota. We had to get a job in the same city because we only had one car. But getting a job, once you say you're from North Dakota, people will hire you. They know, number one, you got a work ethic. They know you're fiercely independent. And what I love about North Dakota, people are blunt in North Dakota. No one's looking to win a popularity contest or et cetera. So I still love it. In fact, when I pick up the USA Today, they have Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas. I go over, and before I look in Louisiana, I look in North Dakota. What's happening? If I'm driving in a freeway in LA and see a North Dakota license plate, I'll drive up alongside that person to see if I know him. So,
to listen to the full-length interview with North Dakota native and Louisiana State NCAA coaching legend Dale Brown, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to be one of our Facebook followers and friends as we bring you all kinds of information throughout the day, throughout the week, exclusive interviews, fresh features, that sort of thing. That's Facebook.com/TheCrudeLife. Facebook.com/TheCrudeLife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
The lines keep coming where the lanes divide it. You and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night.
music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
When you get to me, I'm gonna unfold my arms. So you got a place to land that's soft and
if you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Fingers, no other choice. You are queen of the midnight run. 11 years of dark to test the sun. The AM radio and the dashboard lights. You and the road in the middle of the night. You and the road in the middle of the night. You and the road in the middle of the night. You and the road in the middle of the night. You and the road in the middle of the night.
Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quicker. Jack, gonna jump over the candlestick. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
One of the best things I can share is I've had an opportunity to sit down with a community leader and Eric, and we were talking, and this community leader said, United Way, what's your connection there? Eric said, as a child, my family would have been a family that would have benefited from United Way programming. And you don't necessarily get to see that down the road because you see someone who's been very successful in business and you see somebody who has helped a lot of other people along the way. But sometimes we don't stop to ask, what's the why? What's your why behind that?
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there.
is a good thing.